All right, welcome back to the BPMO podcast. This week we're going to be talking about planning ahead. We have David Helpson here with us. If you have been with us before, then you know that he is the COS at the PMO for SCDHHS. If you don't know what that means, and I encourage you to look at our other podcasts. Did that pass enough?
That was good.
We have a lot to cover in this podcast, so we're going to jump in. But first, I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. For those of you who celebrate that holiday, wonderful. For those of you who are just studying it from a scientific point of view, if we're talking about planning ahead, then the birth of Christ is only like a millennia or two or ten. That's a very good example for us to follow. Happy birthday, Jesus. Merry Christmas to everybody. And now we're going to start talking about how you can plan ahead in projects itself. So we're going to try to keep this to a couple minutes per, per action step. So our first one for the P in plan is to predetermine the change that is needed. So if you've done something for a year, John Maxwell says, look at it carefully. If you've done it for 2 years, look at it with suspicion. But if you've been doing something for 5 years, stop looking at it and change something. So how do you do this in project management? And this may be more than project management. This may be more like strategic planning.
This delves into the strategic planning realm. This really should be what drives the initiation of projects, right, and programs. So I would agree with you that that really, this should be from a portfolio level that, hey, we've looked at the strategic plan, we've looked at our 2-year, 3-year, 5-year plan, and these are the things that we're wanting to make adjustments in and make areas of change. So I would agree that
definitely portfolio.
That's level. The thing that should be pushing what our projects are going to do.
Why is it that I always feel like I get a project that just something spurred, exploded, and there was no plan?
Like, where did that come from?
So encouraging senior management involved in projects to always be looking ahead.
Think ahead, please.
All right. So the next one for the L is lay out your steps. Now, in project management, I think of a work breakdown structure. Nobody likes doing this for some reason. But without it,
what are you doing?
You're reacting to your own project.
The WBS is the core of all work that needs to be done. But people struggle with doing it, I think, because it freaks them out when they do it. They actually put it together and like, oh my gosh, that is huge. How are we going to get that done in the time frame they're asking for? And I think that's why they fear it a little bit more, is, and they don't do it, is because it shows you everything. Really does.
And
but you need that level of understanding to do the rest of the work.
And so when we talk to people about laying out their steps in project management, you're really talking about getting all the way down to that 880 rule. That task you can assign to a person, not some mysterious team where we don't know who's assigned to work on it. So really tying in the 880 rule for those who don't know.
The stick figure, right?
So. Yes.
The stick figure. That's what you got to do.
All right. So then once you really have this, we have a funny quote from The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And this one is for the A, it's adjust your priorities. And I guess always looking at your priority, what's important. And it says, I hope you live a life that you are proud of. If you find that you are not, I hope you find the strength to start over again. This flies in the face, of a waterfall. It's about change, but adjusting your priorities. So what's important today may not be important tomorrow. How do you adapt?
So what you have to do is, and this goes back to one of our previous podcasts where we talked about change and being okay with it. And a lot of people really do have to learn to be better at being okay with change. Because we really do have to learn how to adjust quickly to the environment of the world that we live in today. Where we find ourselves going in this direction today, we may come in tomorrow, and because of one conversation between a director of an agency and a legislator in the state house for our world, we may come in and find an email in our inbox from 9 o'clock last night going, okay, well, now we're going to do this.
Exactly.
And you've got to be able to adjust. But if you have the L done and you have the steps laid out, then you can look at those and see how your adjustment can be easier, smoother, more efficient, more effective. Because the change might not be as bad as you think it is when you first read it. If you have everything laid out, you can go, okay, so how can we now get it here in the most efficient, effective way? And so making those adjustments, you got to be able to think quickly and adjust. And having L in place makes it easier.
You just substitute one, put in another set of tasks.
Change and stuff.
All right, very good. All right, notifying key people.
Yes.
So I think the key word here is key.
Yes.
I hate communications coming from projects that are just blasted out to everybody.
Yes.
People get used to hit and delete, and then all of a sudden something important happens.
Yeah. When did they say that? Where did that come from? And it's like that email that you deleted that you got tired of getting.
Yep. Yep, there's an old commercial from IBM. I think it was IBM. Maybe if it wasn't, I apologize. There's some commercial where the FBI is called into a data center because all the servers have vanished. Mm-hmm. And there's a tech guy walking in, and then there's a business manager with the FBI walking in. What happened to all our servers? Oh, my God, just millions and billions of dollars are gone. And this tech person, I don't know, he's drinking a coffee or eating some breakfast or something like that. He's like, yeah, we went ahead and centralized it all into that
device
right there. He's like, and he's walking off, and you hear this echo. I sent an email. That's exactly how
I actually remember that commercial.
You remember that commercial?
Yes.
So notifying key people. So asking the question, what does it take to make this fly? And also asking the question, who's going to fly it?
This is where we've got to do a better job. And some people do this well, some people don't. But we've got to do a much better job at containing and managing that stakeholder register and understanding who the actual real key people are and understanding that sometimes when we get hit from left field with a change or something that has occurred, we really need to circle back around that key group and talk through what had occurred, because really they're the ones that are going to be able to circle the wagon and protect the project from problems, from outside attacks on whatever it was that changed or adjusted.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. All right. The next one is fun.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how feasible it is, but it's important.
Ah.
And this is allowing time, not for change, but allowing time for acceptance.
Yes.
So going into the three basic phases, mm-hmm. right? When you hear about something that's going to happen, your first reaction is, that costs too much. It's like a knee jerk.
Yes.
That costs too much. You don't really know that it costs too much. And the other one's, well, it's not going to work.
Yep.
Well, that's just because somebody's struggling with that internal change. Like, that's not going to work means I'm going to make sure it doesn't work.
I'm going to make sure it doesn't work.
And then the third phase of this basically being, oh, yeah, I thought this was a good idea the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
So how much time is enough time? I guess one of the questions, how much time is enough time for acceptance? And how do you make sure as a project manager that you are giving enough time for people to accept something?
From a pure project management perspective, if we're just talking pure project management perspective, the time frame is going to really depend on the complexity and effort that's involved in the project itself. Mm-hmm. If this is a quick turnaround project that is somewhat complex, that time frame is going to need to be condensed. And as the project manager, you're really going to have to make a conscious effort to get face-to-face time with those key people to talk through what that really means, to get that buy-in that then can be spread out. If we're talking about just acceptance in general of change, that really is going to be dictated by the people who the change is really affecting and how you can, and this is going back to the Lou Holtz thing from the other podcast, he did a really good job of structuring the time, of structuring what he was going to say, when he was going to say it, and in the way he was said it, to get that buy-in quicker, and also to get everybody to feel more comfortable with it faster.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is getting to that capability as an individual.
Sure. And of course, the key avoidance is to walk into a room and go, we're going to do something different. More details later.
Yes. Oh.
You love those commercials, those news commercials. Something is in your food that could be killing you. Details at 11. You know, it's like, that just leaves me hanging out there.
I've actually been in that meeting well, where the head person came in and said, okay, we're getting ready to announce a major change. We're not going to say it in this meeting right now, but more is going to probably come in the next week or two.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, huh?
Talk about killing the meeting, and talk about making sure everybody thought about that and nothing else. So all the work that was supposed to be worked on for the next 2 weeks all got backed up because everybody was focused on, oh, well, what is it? What can you tell me? You know.
If you can avoid pulling a pin and throwing a grenade in a room and walking out, please do so.
Yeah, please. That's not the right way to do it.
Give us time to react. All right. The next one is head into action. Head into action. So head into action is interesting. Basically, what you're doing is you're calling people to have skin in the game, not just to read a status report.
Correct.
I say you get the most out of your people if you actually ask them to do something, not just to be aware of something.
Correct.
So have you run into this where you find that like 90% of your stakeholders are just in awareness mode?
Yes. And really this goes back to what we talked about before, is the courage, mm-hmm. right? This is the courage. You've got to have the courage to go in there and get them set and focus on the work that needs to be done and not be... What are the little animals, the hedgehog, the ones that pop out of the little
moles,
at the zoo. They pop up and they're constantly they're scanning because they're looking for awareness, and then they get that, and then they're like this, and they're not focusing on the work, and that's where the courage comes in that we talked about before, is getting that courage, expressing the courage. But also getting them to understand they can be just as courageous and accomplish it.
Very good. Very good. The other one seems easy on the surface. Expect problems.
Yes.
Right? So for the E in the word ahead, it's expect problems. I think most project managers, we always expect problems.
We always expect problems.
But it kind of goes into a little bit more. So motion causes friction. Be proactive. And this is a call to project managers to be proactive, not reactive. And what his suggestion is focus on what you think is the worst thing first.
Yes.
So don't leave that to last. If you're gonna pull people in a room, we're kind of talking about risk management, risk planning.
Yes.
Is talk about the worst thing. Don't talk about, you know, the meteor strike that's gonna hit the data center that's probably not gonna happen, mm-hmm. even though it's horrible, but prioritizing it. This is our worst case scenario. You come up with your risk score, you focus there.
Yeah.
How difficult is that for a project manager to keep the team focused on the worst and then the second worst and then the third worst without worrying about the little stuff that may or may not happen?
So your job as the project manager in that world is really to not... So think about when we try to manage stakeholder expectations. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing, but this is us managing the expectations of our team members with regards to risk, actual occurrence or impact, right?
Yeah.
So this is really us trying to manage that. This is what my wife gets on me about. She gets on me all the time. She's like, because we'll be talking about stuff, or we'll be planning a trip, or we'll be doing something, and she'll be, we'll just be talking about life in general. And I'll be like, okay, well, you've got to think about this, you got to think about that, you've got to watch out for this. And she's like, oh my gosh, do you just always see the negative? Do you always just see the problems? And I'm like,
starting to see the reason for
that's
that
my job. Yeah, it's like that's what we do. That's what we do. We are supposed to be the ones that expect the problems, look at the problems, analyze the problems of that we could find, and then while we're thinking about that and kind of stressed about it, we're helping our team members not to be stressed about it by mitigating through our conversations about it.
Yeah.
Inside, it's the duck thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Above water, they look really cute and they're just like, eh. Below,
Their feet are going, yeah. and that's really what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be thinking and contemplating and playing all the scenarios in our head of what could possibly go wrong, but at the same time, above the water,
it's all
talking
cool.
with our teams,
yeah.
being realistic, but being calm about what needs to happen.
Very good. All right, so, and again, we're talking about leading change. So
yeah.
these are kind of the problems. Now the change is for the A, and I'm looking at this, a plan ahead. So the A is always point to success.
Yes.
The story here, UCLA, so another sports thing. You know how I am with
there
sports.
There you go.
So UCLA basketball coach John Wooden. So the advice that he gives to all of his players is, if somebody passes you the ball and you score, mm-hmm. then you need to, in front of everybody, right after that, you need to point to the person who passed you the ball and say, great job.
Yes.
And somebody came back to him, one of his players said, well, what if they're not looking? And he said, they're always looking.
Yes.
You know, and when somebody does something to lift another team person up, you do want to recognize that success. But you also want to recognize the assist.
Yes.
So that you're constantly recognizing success. So he says, always point to success, whatever that yep. success is.
And guess what? It's not just the teammate looking.
Everybody.
Everybody's looking. And yes. when everybody sees teams that do that, that have that much respect for each other to be a part of the success that actually was just accomplished, they in turn go, man, I really wish I could be part of that team. How do I become part of that team? Because they understand what it really means to be truly successful.
Very good. All right, and the last one, if you can believe we actually made it all the way through plan ahead it's amazing. So we got everybody, you can't see everybody in the room, but I'm telling you, everybody in the room is like, there's no way we're going to make this. All right, so we have the last one here. Is for the D, daily review of your progress and from the point of view of change. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is every day review
yes.
what your progress is. You want to point to that progress. So and this is one of my weaknesses. I'm going to tell you one of my weaknesses is I tend to be great coming out of the gate when it comes to communicating yes. change. But then once I see everybody's got it, then I go on to the next thing and there I have to remember to keep coming back to talk about the change all the time.
Yeah.
Always talk about the change, always talk about it in new terms, keep it creative. Never let that message die because it may start great and then over a year or two of a project, people start to get their own theories and ideas that aren't based on reality. And I'm like, but didn't we just agree when we kicked yep. off this meeting that we're all on it? You have to constantly talk about the progress you're making, constantly talk about the change.
Yeah.
So, when in your experience, have you ever seen somebody else with that same fault as mine? What advice would you give me? How can I do better?
so here's what I do, and I think this has helped a couple of people that I have that have asked me to mentor them. Is that and it goes back to what we talked about in an earlier podcast about time boxing. At the okay. end of my day at work, before I shut down for the day, I time box the last half hour. And I time box that last half hour to go through and literally debrief my day and the progress that has occurred. And for the things that were successful, I'll send out emails thanking and
public recognition.
And then other things that did not go as I had hoped, I will set a plan in place for tomorrow for working on that and trying to get that to be a success the next day. And then I'll send that out to one or two people that are also involved with that. But I take that time, and I call it my debrief time, to debrief at the end of the day to sit and look at what was the progress of today. I don't necessarily do it after every meeting. I don't necessarily do it after everything. I take the notes. That's what that half hour is taking the notes from all the meetings, looking through, looking at the pros and the cons of the meeting notes. And then I send that out that recognition out and give kudos and also give direction. But I also do that, like I said in another podcast, that at the end of my day, before I go to bed, I give myself that meditation, right? Well, before that meditation, I have time boxed another 15 minutes to debrief my non-work stuff. So teaching, coaching, my own school stuff that I'm doing through right now, podcasting. I debrief the rest of my day.
All right.
And go through that and send kudos out and stuff like that to archers and stuff like that. So
I think that's good advice. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna commit. So in another podcast, hold me to it. Well, I really want to try that. I think that's a good idea that you say take that last part of your day. It's 20 or 30 minutes. It's nothing big.
No.
And to make sure that I intentionally recognize the good and set a plan for the things that need to improve. Mm-hmm.
It works. It doesn't, like you just said, it's not really that big of a time, but it's got a huge impact on everybody.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thanks again for this podcast. This was on Plan Ahead. Again, Merry Christmas to everybody who listened to this podcast. I hope you have a good day. I hope you got all of the Plan Ahead things. We got it all in less than a half hour. I think we were thinking it was more, right?
Sounds pretty good.
So have a wonderful day, and we will see you again, where we say Happy New Year.